You are listening to BensTorah.com.
During the period of the Bayit Sheni, the Gemara has a whole list of Yamim Tovim that were introduced by the Chachamim with the Rabbanan. That's called Megillas Tainis. Rashi writes in his commentary on Gemara, in Masechet Shabbos, that why is it called Megillas Tainis when the whole Torah Shebaal Peh was being transmitted Baal Peh before the Mishnayos were written down, before, way before the Gemara was written down? Megillas Tainis was already written down. It starts this year, Sivan Talmud Aleph. It goes in the order of the months, and it lists off all of the Yamim Tovim that were introduced to the Rabbanan this Man Bayit Sheni. The first one is Purim. Purim was before the Bayit Sheni, the Yontav of Purim. The next Purim occurred 2 or 3 years before the end of the 7 years of Golas Bavel, and that's a Parcha Bufnei Atzma. Because why did they have the right to institute a Yontav HaPurim? The Gemara says in the Sugya in Rosh Hashanah, and Daf Tezayin, Daf Yudayin, so all long Sugya, that the common denominator of all the Yamim Tovim on Megillas Tainis is they all revolve about the Beis Hamikdash. Someone made a major donation to the Beis Hamikdash of doors or something, or someone, or they straighten out the Hakrovas HaKorbanos. Because for many years in the Bayit Sheni, the Tzedukim were running the show, and they were bringing the Karbonis in a way that you're not yotze. It didn't correspond to the traditions of the Kavanah Baal Peh. So whenever some of the institutions of the Bayit Sheni were improved, straightened out, or every time the Hashmonaim were victorious in battle, so they saved the Beis Hamikdash from destruction, or they say the Beis Hamikdash from defilement. Or Hanukkah, it was defiled, that Beis Hamikdash being used for what is Lord for purposes in the Hashmonaim, or Moitz and Watfish, and they killed those who were worshipping what is Lord. There was no Gemara then, it was hopeful, it was, Bez Makmiyon, Shinshkalayim, and I didn't know, I was sure that Mig Bamilti. Now that Islam killed people worshipping what is Lord, it was Lord, I was sure that Mig Bamilti. So during the Bayit Sheni period, they had all these Yamim Tovim Derabon. So the Gemara says, a real Yontav Deraisi, and not a lot of fast on the Yontav Deraisi, but the Betor don't need Chizuk. So they didn't have to make a Humre that not only are you not a lot of fast on Rosh Chodesh or on Shabbos or Yontav, they didn't have to make a Humre, not a lot of fast on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontav. They don't need to make any gveiris. The people will observe the din. They won't fast on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But all these Yamim Tovim and Megillas Tainis are only in the Rabbanon, so they need chizuk. The Beis Torah need chizuk. So they made a din. Not only are you not allowed to fast on Chanukah and Purim and all the other Yamim Tovim, 25 Yamim Tovim listed off in Megillas Tainis every month in Donishtik, there was another Yom Tov. He said even the day before, Yom Tov, you're not allowed to fast either. So that's an issue that the Rishonim raised, the Baal HaMo'or, in his commentary on the bottom of, printed on the bottom of the page in the Rif of the Gila, raises the question, how do we have Tainus Esther on Erev Purim? If Purim is one of the Yom Tov, my Megillas Tainus, so the Sneihem, the day before Purim, you're not allowed to fast either. This is the Kasha of the Baal HaMo'or. So the Baal HaMo'or and the Ravid used to learn Bechavrusa. Each one wrote Hasogas on the other one's Sefer. The Ravid has Hasogas on the whole Baal HaMo'or, and Baal HaMo'or has Hasogas on the Ravid's Sefer. The Ravid wrote a Sefer on the laws of Taras HaMishpacha. Baal HaNefesh is called Sefer Baal HaNefesh. So the Baal HaMo'or has Hasogas on that Sefer. And they were both Talmidim of the Ravid Baal HaEshkol. The Ravid, the famous Ravid who wrote Hasogas on the Rambam and wrote Hasogas on the Baal HaMo'or, was the daughter-in-law of the Ravid who wrote the Eshkol. The Dachan Yerideya writes in one place that sometimes there's a contradiction in the Rishonim as to what the Ravid's opinion is in a matter of halacha. Some Rishonim quote him as saying one thing, others call him saying a different thing. So the Shach points out, you should keep in mind, there were two different people who are known as the Ravid. One was the father-in-law and one was the son-in-law. The son-in-law was the Rabbi Rabbeinu Avraham ben David. And the father-in-law was Ben Avram Avdeznav Narbona. The Rabbi by his name doesn't stand for Avraham ben David, it stands for Avram Avdezn. So the Eshkol, the father-in-law of the Rabbi, addresses that issue. How can you fast on Pinesester? It's Lifnei and not Purim. So he gives an interesting answer. He says, the other Tanais and Tisha B'Av Tzom Gedalias, or the Tavish B'Avs of the Tamil, how Tanais and Lav Avelis, we are observing Lav Avelis over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and in all of these days had significant things happening. Yerushalayim was under siege, Yerushalayim was captured, and so on. She was a Betamitam, Gedalias, and so on. The Tainus of Tainus Esther, he calls it a Tainus of Simcha. We commemorate the fact that the Jewish people fasted Silu Alai Shlosha Yavim, of Tokol Baptistu, Esther asked Mordechai, Lechkanos of Kola Yehudim, and have them fast for me when I go into the Melech without permission, because the Melech has the right to kill you if you don't have permission to enter. She wasn't invited to be by the Melech. So the Bnei Yisrael fasted, and the Tanis helped, and they got a Yeshua. So we can commemorate the fact that Bnei Yisrael fasted on the occasion of the Nes Purim, and they had a Yeshua, so we fast today. But that's not a Tanis Shal Avelus, that's a Tanis Shal Simcha. So that's permissible on Erev Purim. What you're not allowed to do on Erev Purim is a tiny shal star, a tiny shal avelus. You're not supposed to have sadness, but a tiny shal simcha, that's permissible. That's the answer that the Eshkol gives. Unfortunately, this year, the Klal Yisrael is in the middle of a bitter Muhammad in Eretz Yisrael. So, it's not a bad idea that we should observe the Tanis. This year it's not on Erev Purim. Purim is on Matzoi Shabbos, so we don't fast on Shabbos. It's moved up to Thursday. So this year it's not on Erev Purim, so there's no issue. How can you have a Tanis on Erev Purim? Really, this year, and Shulchan Aruch they say, because it's a Tainis del Simcha, it's not a Tainis al Avelus, so we make a lot, it's only a minute, it's less chomer than Shivas of the Tamis from Gedai and Thorn. Tisha B'Av is more harmful than the others. Tisha B'Av, the din is on all the Tanits and the Rabbanon. Chodesh Ein Bo Sakana is permitted to eat. Chodesh Ein Sakana means a person who can't function normally because of the fact that he's fasting. Let's say a woman is pregnant and nursing, and she's throwing up because she's not eating any food. So throwing up and laying in bed all day long, that's called a Chodesh Ein Sakana. You can't walk around. Mutal Amitra, he can't function normally. So if it's a then the dinner on Tisha B'Av, and then he taught us, a Tanis to Rabbanon, you're allowed to eat. The Rabbi Tam has a tshuva, it's in the Tshuva's Maimony, in the end of every section in the Rambam. The Rambam has 14 different svarim. The official name of the Rambam Sefer is Mishneh Torah. But Klal Yisrael called it by the nickname Yad HaChazaka because Yudalid stands for the 14 svarim that the Rambam wrote, Mada Havas Manim, and so on. So, at the end of each one of those svarim, there are tshuvas maimini, many of the tshuvas written by the Maharam Rittenberg and other Balei Atayim. Rittenberg was the end of the tzkufa of the Balei Atayim, the very end. He was the Talmud of the Erzurua, who was the Talmud of Yehudas Hirlion, and is Talmidim, the Talmidim of the Maram Rittenberg with the Rosh and the Mordechai, and now goes Maimony. So there's a tshuva in the tshuva's Maimony, which is quoted by the Taz in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, where the Rabbi Netam says, he quoted the tshuva's Rabbi Netam, if the Tanaisim would have been Medibri Kabbalah, if the Novi tells you have to fast, and she lost at the tongue some Gedalia. So then he uses a lot of Dibre Kabbalah, Ki Dibre Torah Damiel, and have the same Omer Adin, like a Din Deraisha, like fasting on Yom Kippur. So we only permit one to eat on Yom Kippur, Vizachodot Yeshba Sakana. The suffix Sakana, or, Tvek Sheikh of the suffix Sakana, something like that. But since Tisha B'Av is not Midiri Kabbalah, it's only Midiri Rabbanan. So that's why we are mekel that a chodesh in the Takana is permitted to eat. The difference, the Gemara Sochem has a difference between Tisha B'Av and the other Taneisim, that on Tisha B'Av, Muvarit and Manika has to fast, unless she's actually a chodesh in the Takana. Unless she has to lay in bed all day long, unless she's actually throwing up, and she can't function normally. And she was at the time with some Gedalia, sorry, the Tavis, when they call, that's how the Gemara said that we officially, we declare every Moberis and Meniko automatically as a Kodesh Chamber Sakana. So we allow them to eat. You don't have to go clear our eye if she really is a Kodesh Chamber Sakana or not. Every Moberis and Meniko is automatically declared as a Kodesh Chamber Sakana. It's interesting that, usually, Tainus Esther is a Tainus cow. So you say even Kaveh Einayim, even a person has slight pain in his eyes, he doesn't have to fast on Tainus Esther. Let him fast on a different day. We would be mekel. This year, we really, Klal Yisrael is the Eis Tzara. The Jews that live in Eretz are considered Klal Yisrael. The Jews that live in Chutz Lars are considered Yechidim. So Klal Yisrael is seriously the Eis Tzara now. So we should really fast every Monday and Thursday. We should really fast every week, Monday and Thursday. We're not doing that. So people are so not used to fasting today. We really should fast. So at least we should fast Yom Kippur Kotel once a month. And here on Tainus Esther, usually it's a Tainus Shel Simcha. Now, unfortunately, it's a Tainus the Eighth Torah. So we really shouldn't be legal for Kaveh Einayim. She really observes Tainus Esther like a real Tainus. And this here, it's not an Arab form, so it's not an issue at all. It's not a trimum. It could possibly be a difference halacha lemaisa between Tainus Esther and the other Tanaisim. The Mishnah Berurah points out people have a practice, a lot of communities have a practice, that the last three Tanaisim before a child becomes bar mitzvah, we require of the boy or the girl that they should observe the tonus. So they quote in the name of Avshalom Zalman Arbath that there are three dinim that depend on three times, and all three are not correct. All three are not true. So this is one of them, that the last three tanaisim before a child becomes bar mitzvah has to fast. It's not true. A katan only has to fast on Yom Kippur. Mitam chinuch. And that's the Mishnah, the Gemara, and the end of Yula has. Mishnah, the Gemara, and the end of Yula says, if he's a healthy child, he should fast the whole day, 2 days before Bas Mitzvah, Bar Mitzvah. And he should fast half a day 2 years before, 2 years before. He should fast half a day. But it's not the three Tanaisim before. The other Tanaisim, he doesn't fast at all. So this is Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a children about this. He quotes the Shagas Aryeh. He doesn't agree with the Shagas Aryeh, but I think many assume, like the Shagas Aryeh, that the reason why there's no chinuch on fasting Tisha B'Av and Tzom Gedalia, etc., is because these are Tanaisim of Avelus, Avelus of Nechurban Beis Hamikdash. And there's a Machlekes in the days of the Gaidim, there was a big Machlekes whether a cotton shigil a chinuch. A child is a year or two before Bar Mitzvah. He goes to the cheder, he goes to school. He knows all the dinim. He knows he's learning kids in Shulchan Aruch. So there's a din. He has to observe all the mitzvahs. Itan chinuch. Is there a mitzvah of chinuch on Avelus? If a relative dies, so we pass from Allah and know that there's no chinuch on Avelus. That the child doesn't have to, even though a parent passed away or a sibling passed away, he doesn't have to observe Avelus. So the Shagas Aryeh says, it's for that reason that we don't have chinuch regarding fasting Tisha B'Av and Tzom Gedalia Asar B'Teves, because these Tanaisim are Tainus Shel Avelus, and there's no chinuch on Avelus. But it could well be a Tainus Esther, according to the suggestion of the Sefer HaEshkol, the father-in-law of the Raivit, Balas Sogas. It could be that since Tainus Esther is a Tainus Shel Simcha, then maybe the children should observe Itam Chinuch. It's interesting that Meiri has two opinions regarding whenever Purim falls out on Sunday. So Tanya says that she'd really be on Shabbos, that we've not all fast on Shabbos. The only thing we fast on Shabbos is Yom Kippur. That's a din and a Torah. But the other Tanya's, we don't fast on Shabbos. So the Meiri quotes two different practices. Do you move up the Tanya's to Thursday? Or do you just move it up to Friday? You're not supposed to be going to Tanya's on Friday. That's not right. If a person is going to enter Shabbos, he's starving, and then he's not in a happy mood, that's a violation of Einik Shabbos. He should eat something. In fact, even let's say if Tisha B'Av falls out on Erev Shabbos, and the days of the Talmud, days of Rabbi Akiva, there was a big machlokes, Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion, if Tisha B'Av falls out on Friday, you fast both to the day, and then you break the tannis before Shabbos. Shouldn't be a violation of Einik Shabbos, of Kvod Shabbos, to enter Shabbos in a way that you're starving. We don't follow that opinion. We follow the opinion of the other Tanoi, that whenever the only Tanis that can fall out on a Friday, according to our calendar, we have a fixed calendar. So the only Tanis that can sometimes fall out on Friday is Asur B'Davis. But if it falls out on a Friday, it fasts the whole day. Or if a person has yard site. So there used to be an old minig, now the Hasidim didn't change the minig. For people of yard site, and many people don't fast. But in the days of the Balei Hatesis and the Shulchan Aruch, they talk about fasting on a yard site. So they say, if a person is in the practice of fasting on a yard site, then he should, if it turns out the yard site is on Erev Shabbos, you must honor a Muslim. You fast the whole day until, say, Tachachov. The other place to wait 72 minutes forever, Tuesday. Says a Gohar, 25 minutes after the Kiyush, right? That's Says a Gohar. You have to be Machman, that's Says a Gohar. So the Meiri has these two opinions. If Purim falls out on Sunday, so we're not going to fast on Shabbos, do you fast on Friday? Or do you say, no, he's not allowed to be kaveh atonis on Friday, condition of the Kamas and Shabbos, Kishum, Una. So he moved up the tonis to Thursday. Rav Soloveitchik said that his grandfather, Abchaim, would avoid Abchaim was a lady. He would avoid getting the aliyah when you're laying by Chala on the time of Tibur. So when Purim is on Sunday, and we fast on Thursday, but that's a machlokes, but he's supposed to fast on Thursday or Friday. So according to some, you're not supposed to fast on Thursday. You're not supposed to lay by Chala. He's saying, bracha on aliyah. It's the wrong day. It should be tomorrow. It should be on Friday. The plan would avoid, he would delay his way out of getting an aliyah, on Tainus Esther, if the Tainus would be on a Thursday. He would avoid it. Okay. It's interesting, usually, when you have, let's say, Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, or one of the other Tainus falls out on Shabbos. So you postpone it. You observe the Tainus, if the Shabbos, you don't magbid. We don't observe the tonis in advance. We don't want to. It's a tiny telavelus. Tisha B'Av serve the tevet some gedal shivot to the old tanechim of avelus. But tainus Esther, if it falls out on Friday, we don't postpone it. And the Shulchan Aruch that said the returning said because the Gemara has a svara that you don't. Gemara makes there the Rabbah. Rabbah explains the din in the Mishnah that when Purim falls out on Shabbos, Vayas Purim never falls out on Shabbos, but Shushan Purim that sometimes fall out on Shabbos. So you lay the Megillah on Sunday. You don't lay the Megillah on Shabbos. There you tend the Abirena, the Alarambis, Vishutha Rabbi. Afraid someone may forget and carry. Yeah. It's interesting when we read the Megillah, many people have their own Megillah. Instead of having a Chumash, printed Chumash, they have a Megillah that's written on parchment. So usually there is a din that you're not allowed to touch Harichas Sefer Torah Orum. You're not allowed to, and of Kovod of the Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to touch the parchment with your bare hands. If you have to touch the parchment, so usually you take a talus, and you're mafsik in between your fingers and the cloth and the parchment, your mouth stick with the talus. People, Amigila says that you don't have an Eitz Chaim. They have nothing to hold it with. The people usually hold the cloth with their own hands, and that poses the problem. So the Mishnah Berurah discusses this, and the Sefer Chelek Mishnah Berurah. He is so that everybody remembers, on Purim, what he wrote in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, most people do not remember. So what he wrote there was, he quoted from the Beis Yosef, that, the Gemara's lotion is the last daf in Megillah, the very last Omud, and Masechas Megillah, Oichas Sefer Torah Orum, is an Isser. So there's a Machlekes, the Beis Yosef quotes, Machlekes Rishon, does this prohibition only apply to Say the Torah, or does it apply to Nevi'im and Ketuvim as well? So that's a machlokes. So some hold that since the Gila says there is not a Sefer Torah, it's permissible to touch it with your bare hands. But after the Rishonim disagree, they hold that the prohibition even applies to the Gila Sester. So how do you hold with your bare hands? So there is a Gemara in the end of the first Perek in Masechus Shabbos. The Mishnah alludes to the Yud Ches Dovar. One day, the Gemara tells a story, the Bisham and the Bisul used to learn in the same base medrash. Hillel and Shammai were the chief rabbi and assistant chief rabbi, 100 years before the Korban HaBayis. Beit Sheni was destroyed in the year 70. So 100 years before, so Hillel was the chief rabbi and Shammai was the assistant chief rabbi. And then they had yeshivas, they had Bisul and Beit Shammai. So they used to learn in the same base medrash. And on one occasion, just like in Congress, in America, they see sometimes, they look around, they look who's there. And then they see they can pass, they have enough, a majority to pass, a law. So that's what Bishamai did. Bishamai used to be in the minority. Bishamai were the right. Bishamai were the miut. So on one occasion, the Bishamai weren't there. There must have been something. So many of the Beis Hillel were not there, and the Beis Shammai made 18 Zeres that day. The next day, when the Beis Hillel came back, so then they were masking with the 18 Zeres. So that's why we don't talk so much about this, about the 18 Zeres. The Taisus in Sukkot of Gimel and Al quotes from the Siddur Rav Amram Goyen that there were 6 cases where we pass from like Beis Shammai against Beis Hillel. That's 6 in addition to the 18. The 18 don't count because when the Beis Hillel came back to the Beis Medrash, they were masking with the 18 Zeres, the Yud Ches Zeres. So the Gemara in the end of the first Perek and Masechus Shabbos, the Mishnah mentions briefly the 18 Zeres, and the Gemara lists them all off. Then the Gemara has a very strange kasha that's very difficult to understand. The Tosafot works very hard to understand what is the kasha. So the Ran on the Rif, a Masechus Shabbos, you have printed in the back, you have the Rif, and the Ran has a commentary on the Rif. So the Ran explains, in order to understand the Gemara's kasha, that such is so difficult to get, he says the Gemara seems to be making a premise that either I'm out of touch a Sefer Torah or the Vim of Ksuva with your bare hands to touch the cloth, that's because Tanya Daimas Kon Yafein, people all day long touch their shoes, they touch their body, they touch dirt, they touch all kinds of things. So it's not covered a sefer to touch the sefer Torah with your bare hands if the hands are stung your dying. But if you wash mitzvahs and dined in advance and then your hands are clean, then the Ran says that's the premise of the Gemara's kasha. If you wash mitzvahs and dined in advance, then you're permitted to touch the cloth of the sefer Torah with your bare hands. So Taisha doesn't hold like that. Taisha gives a different interpretation. And the Gemara's kasha, but that's the Ran Shita. So the Beit Yosef says that with respect to touching any other sefer from Tanakh, other than Chamish or Chumash Torah, you have a sect ready to be made. One suffix is maybe the din is like those Rishonim, also Lech and Sefer Torah. Arm only applies to Sefer Torah. Doesn't apply to Nevi'im of Ksuvim, so it wouldn't apply to Megillas Esther. Afid and Kibbutz Leima that it does apply to the rest of the Nevi'im of Ksuvim. Maybe the din is like the Ran, that if you wash until the Sadaim in advance, you're permitted to touch the cloth with your bare hands. So if you touch a Sefer Torah with your bare hands by washing until the Sadaim in advance, you don't have a sex faker. You only have one side to be makel. This Ran, the Ran assumes that that's the premise of the Gemara's Kasha, that whenever you watch Mitzilas Adayim in advance, and the hands are not stung Yadayim, hands are not dirty, so then it's permissible to touch the cloth. So we wouldn't be nakel. But if it's anything, any other swarm from Kishrei HaKadosh, then there would be room to be nakel based on this specific. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. He writes that on Purim, a lot of people have their own Megillah on a cloth, and they want to hold it with their bare hands, so that's Kineged HaDinyan HaTavidetu. So we would be nakel if you wash until it's a diamond in it. But since we're not so sure, it's mitansek seker that we're nakel. It's not that we assume for sure that din is like the rod, that if you wash until it's a diamond, it's mutter. If we would have assumed that din is actually like the rod, the echlet, then we would have said a brocha, shikadishan so suzwano, on until it's a diamond. We're nakel based on a sex fake, and maybe the din is like the vishayim that the osalechus in Ketorah Orem restricted only to Sefer Torah, and maybe even if it does apply to Shar Kisri HaKadosh, maybe if you wash your hands in advance, there's room to be mekel. So since it's based on a sex fake, we wouldn't say a bracha on the until it should die. But the Mishnah Berurah said that's what you have to do. You want to hold your own cloth. What do you gain by having your own? You're going to read the Megillah yourself. Why should you want to read the Megillah? Everybody knows the drop. Supposed to learn the Megillah with the correct pronunciation. And with the drop, most people do not know the drop. So what do you gain by having your own Megillah? Balkari is learning Mital Chaksav. You're yaita with the Mikra Megillah of the Balkari. So what you gain is the following. In all the shuls, a lot of people make a big noise. They clap hammer. So a lot of times when they make noise, when they clap hammer, you miss a word or two. So sometimes the Balkare will say it over again and everyone will hear the missing word that they didn't hear originally. But if you really missed a word, then if you missed one word, then you're not Yaitse. So the din is, if Rav of the Megillah was read Bitoch HaKsav Mute, was said Balbeh, if you read the missing word, although you have to hear the whole Megillah in order, let the hurts from the Balkare up until the word Haman. Then I knit the word Haman, a word or two or three, so I want to make it up by reading from a Chumash. And then I'll continue listening to the Balkari. I'll hear everything in order. So, B'di'evet Yod V'Yotzei, as long as Rav of the Kriya, 51% of the Kriya, was read from a kosher cloth, even though 49% was read from a printed Chumash. But L'chatchila, then B'tzot B'shlan Lusa, is not to rely on Ruba Kukulai. That's a Mishnah in Chulin. The beginning of the second parak in Chulin says, when you shecht an oif, b'di'evit, ha-shechet sounds like b'di'evit. B'di'evit, if you shecht either the kona or the veshet. The veshet is the food pipe and the kona is the windpipe. So if you shecht roiv of the kona or roiv of the veshet, that's good b'di'evit. And when you shecht the be'emeh, you shecht, you have to shecht roiv of both. Roiv of the kona and roiv of the veshet. So the Gemara here, he's just roiv of the corner, roiv of the veshet. Why is it only good b'di'evit? What do you want him? What do you want him to share? The Gemara says no. L'chatchila she really shecht kol ha'koneh, the koneh veshet, kol ha'veshet. And it's only good b'di'evit if he shecht roiv koneh and roiv veshet. Ruba kukul is only good b'di'evit. So that's the first Gemara in the second parak in Chulin. That Gemara is quoted at the end of the first parak in Chulin. So the first parak in Chulin is Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos regarding this l'chatchila. Is this a l'chatchila de Raisa or a l'chatchila de Rabbanon? That l'chatchila he should shecht kol ha'koneh v'kol ha'veshet. And by life, he should shecht either kol ha'koneh or shecht kol ha'veshet. Or shecht kol timon v'koneh and ha'veshet. So that's a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Does it make sense to have a l'chatchila de Raisa by shechita? Well, what's that issue? The pastor says that issue is the following. That it seems has an edulation. He points out there was a thesis in the end of Masechet Nida, thing that some above on the base or something like that, where the thesis has a klal, that it doesn't make sense to have a l'chatchila deraisa by a matir. Let's say hagola. If you have a Jacob party and you do hagola. So l'chatchila, you should have done hagola like this, but the evidence could like that. If it's good b'di'evit, it's good l'chatchila. Only if you're talking about a mitzvah. So then you can say, a mitzvah b'shlei musar is to be done like this. But he added, if you did it like this, you had say an incomplete mitzvah. So there is the concept of, and the lachatchila deraisa by a mitzvah. But by a matir, there is no lachatchila deraisa. It doesn't make any sense. Let's say you write a get. So you have a lana mishnaik, who hatchila the get should be written like this. And the evet, if you wrote it like that, but the evet, it'll be kosher. So all of those mishnayas by a get is not a hatchila. Writing a get, nishke mitzvah. You don't say a yidda mitzvah, you should write a get on a golden plaque. Because of the hidden mitzvah. There's no hidden mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah, it's a matir. A get is a matir, it's not a mitzvah. So whenever you have a lachatchila by a get, and for the evet, it's good, even though you didn't, it's a dead giveaway that it's only midirabon, and it's not an affair. So by shita, that's a not like this, right, in Tetris. So if you hold that shita is a mitzvah, then it's either shak to have a lachatchila deraita by shita. If all shita is only a matir, that's a big question, because if Mishnah learns in the Rambam that the Rambam held that Shita the Mitzvah, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, this of the chef of the aim of the Chaya, a oif, when you're interested in eating flesh, is a Mitzvah. So that's what the Keser Mishnah of Yosef Karo, his commentary on the Rambam, understands within the Rambam, that the Rambam really holds that the Shita is a Mitzvah, and it's shayat to have a lachatchila deraisa. But if you hold that shita, those to the right it is mastig on the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvah. He says, shita's are not there, it's not a mitzvah. Takes up the yitz and the vela. But it's not that you mekayim a mitzvah when you sheft the hem of high the yitz. So if you hold that the shita is only a not there, it's the whole of hapkila, that you should death call out dimin, or death to both the corner and the vashit by an oath, that can only be in the rabbon. It can't be that it's been a terror. By Arba Koytis, all Arba Koytis is only the Rabbanan, but still the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Gemara, that if you drink Raiv of the Kais, a lot of people on Pesach night take a little sip, they don't even drink Raiv Kais. So the Gemara says, you have to drink Raiv Kais. So the Magen Avraham writes on that din in Shulchan Aruch, if you drink Raiv of each Kais of Yotzei, he says, you only Yotzei but the other. The Nitzel Bishmei Lusso is to drink Kolak Kais of each of the Arba Kais, not to rely on Ruba Kukulai. But the Eved, you'll be Yotzei with Ruba Kula. He can say, by Arba Kaisis, it's Lachatchila Deraita. The whole mitzvah of Arba Kaisis is only Midirabon. But Lachatchila, the mitzvah Bishul Nusa, is to drink Kola Kais. And with the Eved, we would say that you'll be Yotzei if you drink Raiva the Kais. So here, the Gemara says, there was a big Machlokes for many generations, from the Tkufas HaPanoim, deep into the Tkufas HaMaroim. How many storm are there in the Tanakh? Are there 23 or 24? It's interesting, years ago when they discovered the manuscript of the Tanakh in Eretz Yisrael in a cave there were only 23. They didn't have a Megillas Esther. So the archaeologists are not sure why they had all the other 23 Svarim of the Tanakh. How come there was no Megillas Esther? Was it out on loan? And someone forgot to bring it back? Or maybe this community followed that opinion that Megillah Sef is not part of Kisri HaKadosh. That was an ongoing debate for years and years and years, from the Tzkufas HaKanoim deep into the Tzkufas HaMeroim. We pass from Allah that there are Chof Talad Swarm, 24 Swarm in the Tanat, and Megillah Sef, there was one of them. As the Gemara goes, if you touch a Megillah Sef, the parchment, it's Pintami is Hayadai. Because the Chachamim wanted to, we should have respect. But the Kisra Kaddish, we shouldn't touch it with our bare hands. But he's told, if you touch Kisra Kaddish, it's when Thomas had died, that'll serve as a deterrent. So people will not want to touch it with their bare hands. So we paskin that Megillah says there is part of the Kisra Kaddish. But the Gemara says it's not exactly. The Gemara shows Nikris Sefer and Nikris Igeret. On the one hand, it's called the Sefer. It's one of the 24 Svarim of the Kisra HaKadosh. On the other hand, Nikris Igeres is not fully Torah Shabbat. The Gemara says that you have Raiv of the Megillahs written, 51% is written, and 49% is missing, so it's good b'di'evet. Mahatila, to fulfill a Nitzvah Nikram Megillah b'plei Musa, if you really hear the whole Kriyas HaMegillah 100%, you should have everything written. You're good to be the evidence if you have Ruboy Kosov. So that's why some people prefer to have their own Megillah in case they made noise when they were clapping Haman and they missed a word or two from the Baal Kareh, and then instead of filling in the missing words from a printed Chumash, then you just Yotze B'di'evet because you had Roiv of the Megillah Mitoch Aksav, and Miut was recited Baal Peh from the printed Chumash, that's called Baal Peh. So if you have your own Megillah, Kosher Megillah, and you fill in the missing words that you missed when they were clapping Haman and they made noise, you'll read everything in the Torah Haksav, so then you'll have the mitzvah b'shlemus. The whole Mikra Megillah will be in the Torah Haksav. One of the Gedolim from 100 years ago pointed out, we have a minog that there were four psukim shel gevula when you read the Megillah. What are the four psukim shel gevula? Lahudim ha'story of the Simcha v'sos v'mikor, the very last pasuk in the Megillah, Matra Yehudi. What is that? Is it done? Ratzah, the right back of David Shalom David Kolam L'chol Amol, the very last pasuk, and then the third pasuk is Ishivili Hayi B'Shushan Abira, and the fourth pasuk is Matra Yehudi Yotzim Lefnei Melech B'Vush Tchelis V'Chur B'Aterizov. So the meaning is that we say those, when the Baal Kareh gets up to those, each one of those four psukim, everybody reads the pasuk. So we usually, most of the people have a printed chumash in front of them, and they say the pasuk from the printed chumash. So that's the driver. You want to be, I'd say, the litzvah of Mikra Megillah b'shlein musa, so you should really hear 100% of the psukim. You should hear everything from a kosher Megillah. Why are we relating from a printed chumash? Because Chumash is out of cloth, it's not written on parchment, it's printed on paper. The answer is, we say the pasuk Baal Peh, we say based on a printed Chumash, but then the Baal Kareh repeats the pasuk. So before we get to the end of the Megillah, we heard that pasuk mitoch Hafsav. We heard it from the cloth. So we heard the old Megillah. We heard the old Mikra Megillah from the cloth. The only challenge is, what about the very last pasuk? The first three psukim, we say Baal Peh, and then the Baal Kareh repeats it before you get to the end. So we heard all of those three psukim, the Argentel Hakstab also. But the last pasuk, that's the shana. Once you read the last pasuk from a printed chumash, he reads it with the evidence already. So will it help if the Baal Kareh is going to lean over the final pasuk? What Hayuri Ratsa the right back of Devish, so the Tervi Amor, the Devi Kama holds our own. Will it help if the Baal Kareh will lean it over? Weren't you Yotze the old mitzvah b'di'evet? Can you do anything afterwards to make it into l'chatila? That's a big deal in an akrayim. That's the famous kiddush from the Beis HaLevi and from Afayim, from Adolvalu Saudeshi. They all have such a svara in different rishonim. Chaim Kanievsky has an essay about this and one of his svarim. There seem to be a group of rishonim at all. They want to yotze a mitzvah b'di'evet. There's nothing you can do to make an into l'chatchila. Let's say I shook a lulav, dalad minim, and the estrig was a kosher estrig, but it was an ugly looking estrig. It wasn't hadar. It wasn't a pretty estrig. So even if afterwards I'll take a different estrig and shake the lulav again, I won't be yotze the mitzvah b'di'edura. I was already yotzei the mitzvah b'di'evet shelo b'hidura, so there's nothing you can do later. Even if you're going to take it again with a different estrig and different lulav, a different habas, and nothing is going to help. So that's the shot of the last pasuk. Is it right that we all say the last pasuk from a printed chumash, and then we rely the Baal Kareh is going to lay in it again? Maybe we should have in mind that to be yotzei when we say the last pasuk. So will the only be yotzei when we hear from the Baal Kareh? So we'll hear 100% of the whole Kriya, the Torah Haksav. That's what some have the practice. The Gemara Megillah, the Avdalet Amar Aleph, quotes two Amoraim who say, Taivanim Likras to Samphila Balailo, Ul Shanosa Biyom. In the Mishnayis, in Megillah, it never says you have to read the Megillah Leil Purim. Just that you have to read the Megillah Bayom. It's never mentioned you have to read the Megillah Balailo. The Amoraim say this. And Dalet Amar Aleph and the Gemara, and each one quotes a different pasuk. So that's a question the returning man. How come it doesn't say in Mishnayos as you have to read the Megillah Velveil Purim? So if Shlomo Levilna has a Sefer Binyan Shlomo, he adds the suggestion maybe it was this mitzvah of reading the Megillah aloud for him. Maybe it was introduced in the days of the Amorim. Maybe in the days of the Tanaim, such a din did exist that the Kadosh Hanshik Pesach Vayla. The story, the Nes Purim occurred at the end of the 7 years of Golus Vavil, before they completed the building of the Bais Sheni. So good Balbida, when they originally observed Purim, the whole of the Bais Sheni Tkuka could be that they never had Mikra Megillah Balayla. Maybe it was only in this Chadut in the days of the Amorim. Abdelvektik liked that suggestion. Every year he would say that over. Every year he would say that it could well be that Mikra Megillah Balayla in the days of the Amorim. So the Gemara has on Dalin and Manalef and Megillah the two Amorim to indicate the Balayla and to read it again the second time by Yon. So one quote should pass it from Tehillim chapter Chabez. And that's the Tzerik and Tehillim. Tehillim was composed by David HaMelech. So the Gemara added tradition that that was the Tzerik and Tehillim that Esther recited when she was going into the Beit HaMalchus. Shalom Birshus. Mordechai encouraged her that she asked to go to the Melech and plead on behalf of Kali Sol that he shouldn't let Haman wipe out the Jewish people. So she was afraid to go to the Melech. Whoever goes uninvited can be beheaded. He can kill her. So she offered that freely. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from, one Gemara quotes a pasuk from chapter Chavbeis until that parak and Tehillim that says, how does it say, I called out to the Rebbe Shalom, I prayed to the Rebbe Shalom for a Yeshua in the daytime. And if the Rebbe Shalom doesn't answer my prayers, I pray again by Lailah. So we read the Megillah, the Kriyas HaMegillah is a form of tefillah. It's not explicit, the Kriyas HaMegillah is just a story, but implicitly, the Mashmoah says that we're davening to the Rebbe Shalom. Praying to the Rebbe Shalom that just like he gave B'nai Yisrael a Yeshua in the days of the Nes Purim, she gave us a Yeshua today. You need a big Yeshua in there. It's just thrown out. Big takonis there. So, that's one opinion. That the idea behind Mikra Megillah V'alayla, the Shanasa V'yom, is a form of tefillah. Alakai Ekir Yamar V'laysana, the light of the Lord Domiyali. The other opinion in the Gemara is based on a different pasuk in Tehillim. A man zamechach obod v'lo yidom, Hashem alakai li'olam oidekla. I will always praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'olam oidekla. I will recite, I will praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'lo, and I will praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'yom. The Gemara has a discussion in Megillah. Anika, we say Ha'ol Sholem. That's three suggestions. Why we don't recite Ha'ol Sholem on Purim? So one, some of the Rishonim in the Iri thought of like the third suggestion, that really they should have recited Ha'ol on Purim, but Kriyasa Zul Ha'lela. When you read the Megillah, you yoyte Ha'ol. Kriyasa Megillah is a story, but implicitly it's a tefillah, and implicitly it's a Ha'ol. You know, you don't say explicitly, you don't say this Irish atfila. It's implying atfila. Just like the Rebbe Shalom gave us a Yeshua, we don't mention the Rebbe Shalom at all. We don't even mention him at all in the Mikra Megillah. But we are implying that just like the Rebbe Shalom gave us a Yeshua in the days of Mark Chavi Esther, so too he should give us a Yeshua now. And we thank him so that if Yiri has this famous comment, the Fidor, was a Mishra, lived in the 1700s.
You are he listening was a Mishra, to Ben's Torah.
He was always traveling around Europe, raising money for the Yiddish Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. They always sent all the money to Eretz Yisrael, so the Chidor, whenever he would come to a new city and the government would have a library, he would always look at the library to find out what Shisraya they had. So he was the one, he read all of the Meiris before they were printed, when everything was in manuscript in Sadiyav. He read all the Meiris, and whenever he found a Chiddush, the Halacha, and the Meiri, he would copy it down. The Chidor wrote many, many Svarim. So he'll quote them. So this is famous. The Chidor printed this in his form. And here he has a seated. The Gemara says the Miri talked from like the third explanation given in the Gemara. How come we don't recite Halal on Purim? So the Gemara's enter is Kriyatim Zul Halel. Reading the Megillah is a form of Halal. So the Miri has a Chiddush. What if you're on a desert island on Purim and you don't have a Megillah to read? But then the Miri said, you believe to say Halal. We don't pass it like that. And it still explains why we haven't accepted the Megiri Shita. Reciting of Hallel, Dechel Anes, Hallel Bishwas Anes, Hanyav Yeshua, so it could be that that's a Dindar Isa. You learn out, the Gemara learns out that Kal Vachemer from Oz Yoshir, that when the Jewish people were in Eretz Mitzrayim, they were Avonim, they were Ashklaps, but they weren't killing them. There was a period of time they were throwing the baby boys, they were killing the baby boys, but most of the time they were not killing the babies, so just that they were avodim. So you see, on the occasion of Kriyas Yamsuf, they went, they avdut lateirut and said Oz Yashir, and the Chumash records the fact that they said Oz Yashir, so records it, so you see that's the proper thing to do. The Morata is a Kavachimer, Mami avdut lateirut, you say Shira, so the Mother Falchimer should certainly say Shira. So really, we ought to say Hallel, we ought to say Hallel. That's the Shasa Yeshua. So Hallel the Shasa Nes, Hallel the Shasa Yeshua, his Paka Kavachimer from Oz Yashir. That would be their Isha. So Hallel Zechel Nes. Every year, to recite Hallel every year on Purim, in commemoration of Yeshua that we had so many years ago. So that's Hallel Zechel Nes, that's only the Rabban. Hallel the Shasa Nes is their Isha, Kavachimer from Oz Yashir. Hallel Zechel Nes, only the Rabbanon. So the Fachib Chadding Mara says, since under normal circumstances we're going to read the Megillah, that the Chacham never instituted Kriyas HaHalal on Purim, even if one year by a quirk of circumstances you don't have a Megillah, but they don't have a Mechaibos that we should say Halal on Megillah. Because normally is that you do have a Megillah, and you would say, with Kriyas HaMegillah, but then in first the form of reciting Halal. So it's interesting. The two Amoraim learn out from two different Tukim, and Abdal, Aleph, that you have to read the Megillah by Yom and Balayla. One of them says, Kriyas HaMegillah is an implicit form of Tefillah. Halakaya, Kiryama, Velestein, and Balayla with Odalili. The other one says that it's an implicit form of Kriyas HaHal, Kriyas HaZuhalayla. So it's interesting, the Ritalmi, the Ran on the Rit, in the end, the very end of Masechus Rosh Hashanah, the Ran on the Rit quotes the Ritalmi, that in authority always take the Tamei coin. One person says Kiddush and everybody's Yotze. One person says Abdullah and everybody's Yotze. One person reads the Megillah, Shavei Kaina. One person blows Teifer and everybody pays attention and everybody's Yotze. That's the din of Shavei Kaina. So in Torah, we assume you say Shavei Kaina every time there's a mitzvah Amira. And with the Rabbanon, they limited it a little bit. So they said it's not right to rely on someone else's Kriyashma. Everyone should say their own Kabbalah Hamal Chritamayim Kriyashma for the sake of Kabbalah Hamal Chritamayim. Anybody should recite their own Kriyashma. And Tzilas, you need a Shidduch, you need a Parnasa, you need a Refuah, or something like that. Your grandchildren need a Refuah. So you should be Mispalel. Not just have someone else Davin, you'll say Amen. You'll be Yetzir with Shemaya Kainan. More correct is that you have a Baref. You go up at its feeling your top. And then the Gemara says, when it comes to eating food also, did you ask the other person to eat an extra sandwich for you? You're going to eat the sandwich yourself. So what correct is, you should say you're on Hamaisi, shouldn't be lying on Shemeh Koine for Hamaisi. If you say you're on Benshin, shouldn't be lying on Shemeh Koine, not for Hamaisi, not for Benshin. We do sometimes, and got it. They eat together, so one person. So first, I'm explaining that that's not based on Shemeh Kaina. That's a din. All Chabur offers one Hamoitzi. When the bench Menzomim, Medina de Gemara, only the Menzomim says the benching. All the others don't say benching. They just say Amen at the end of each Brachah. So that's also, that's not based on Shemeh Kaina. It's based on the fact that all Chabur offered one benching. It's a different word. So the Shulchan Aruch has the following din. If you have a group of people less than an inyan, and they're reading the Megillah. So one is the Balkarei. Let's say you have 9 people. You don't have a minyan. And 9 people, one is reading the Megillah, and the other 8 are listening. And some of the other 8 know how to read the Megillah on their own. So just like there's a din by davening, that you don't allow shemeh kohenah by tefillah, so mikra Megillah is also a form of tefillah, so we wouldn't allow shemeh kohenah. We wouldn't allow shemeh kohenah if the person is able to daven on his own. He's able to read his own Megillah. Let him read his own Megillah. If you have a minyan, then we're mekel. If you have a sara, then we're mekel, even though the other 9 people have the ability to read the Megillah. Fill on it. All right. If you have chaldor kashat, but if you have less than a minyan, so that's a din in the mechaber. It's quoted from the Rishonim. If you have less than an inyan, and one of the people knows how to lay the Megillah on his own, he doesn't really need to come on to shemeh kohenah, then since mikra Megillah is a form of tefillah, so that the chumrah with their avarim, you don't say shemeh kohenah. Megillah lochedit. This idea from the Gemara Daf Dalet, that the mikra Megillah is not only kriyas tzuvim, it's a form of hallel, and it's implicitly a form of tefillah as well. Yeah, the Mishnah has a Megillah. The genus Halois is Shama Ashurid Yotza. Halois is a person who doesn't understand Hebrew. He only knows French, or he only knows Spanish, whatever. And the Megillah is written in Hebrew. So Halois is Shama Ashurid Yerdenik from Megillah in Hebrew, and he doesn't understand one word. So the Mishnah says that it's Yotzenik from Megillah. So that's from Machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos. What do you see from that then? So Rashi says, you see from that halacha that it's called shemeh kohenah, even though you don't understand the language. Let's say someone's saying Kiddush. I don't understand Hebrew. I know that the Kiddush is supposed to contain the theme. Shabbos is special day, a holy day. We thank our Kodesh Baruch Hu for giving us the Shabbos. But I don't know Hebrew, so I don't. Which word means what? So Rashi's opinion is that's not a problem. He still says Jamaica, and then goes in not depth. But if he knows the general gist of what Kiddush is all about, that's called Jamaica. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos said in Pakirot, Jamaica is only Shemaya he hears, and Shemaya understands the language, like you're saying, Akash Shemaya. Do you understand? Akash Shemaya means the ear, and Akash Shemaya means the understand. So, in Shulchan Aruch, they have accepted that this is an opinion. That Mikra Megillah, if you hear the Megillah in Hebrew, you hear it, even though you don't understand Hebrew, that's an exception to the rule. That's an exception to the rule. The rule is, if you say, if someone says Kiddush, I don't understand Hebrew, that's not called Shalaya. I'm not Yotze the Kiddush. It's only called Shalaya kind of if I hear the word, and I understand the language, but if I don't understand, it's not yet. And Mikra Megillah is an exception to the rule. Umar has a lesson. The all Mikra Megillah is for the purpose, so it's for the Isa, and the one who's listening doesn't understand Hebrew, but he knows generally that there was a Nes on Purim. So even though he doesn't understand, he's still yet. So that's an affliction between, Raja and Tetris and Kola Tarikula. Are you Yotze? If someone says Kiddush, you don't understand Hebrew, can you apply the rule of shemeh kohenah or not? Yeah. And the Shulchan Aruch assumes that you don't apply shemeh kohenah. When we complete Mikra Megillah, so the Gemara has, before you start Mikra Megillah, there are 3 brachas. Shikusham Tosano on Mikra Megillah, and then you say the bracha Shosanisim, and he said, the healthy, and the meaning by dog. We say, Shehafiyonu, if it's a mitzvah, bomb is man is man. You haven't read the Megillah since last year. But the target is when you read the Megillah in the morning, you just read the Megillah last night, on Leil Purim, so why do you take Shehafiyonu? So the Rambam sheet in the Mechaber Pasman, for the Svardim, talk in the morning, you don't say Shehafiyonu. You just read the Megillah last night. But the Ashkenazim assume that the Mikra Megillah Balayla is not as important as the Mikra Megillah Bayom. That's what the Rambam Ladona said. Mikra Megillah Balayla was only instituted in the days of the Amorai. Days of the Tanaim, it didn't exist. And the Mikra Megillah in the morning is much more important. So, our practice is that before you start reading the Megillah, Bein Balayla, Bein Bayom, we say all the three brachos. And then, if you wrote the Megillah, for the Tzibur, if there was a minion of friend people listening to the Mikra Megillah, then the Gemara has a bracha, Rav Shivain about Donis, the Dain about American Mystic Parsenu. That's only if you have the Ramos as in Shulchan Aruch, based on a passage of the Talmud Yerushalmi. You only recite the bracha after the Mikra Megillah is finished if you lay in the Megillah, the Tzibur. If you have less than a minion, it doesn't count. So the tour, the Ramos refers to the tour. To ask a machlokes, what does it mean, Mikra Megillah B'tzibur? It means 10 men, or maybe even 10 women is also called Mikra Megillah B'tzibur. He's not talking about a double shabikis. Maybe think the whole purpose of Mikra Megillah B'tzibur is to sunni hitza, that maybe if you have 10 women, it's also good. That's the child. A lot of times the women have to take care of the little children. So they can't go to the first Mikra Megillah. So the husbands go. And then there's a second minion. After the first minion finish reading the Megillah, then the women come. The husband goes and babysits for the children. Then the women go to Shul Nehir. So a lot of times the second Mikra Megillah, you don't have 10 men. They have a Balkari, maybe a man. You may have a few men, stragglers, but you may not have 10 men. So is that good enough if you have 10 women? Or is it good enough if you have 5 men and 5 women? So because that's a machlokes, so the Ramos said, the only said they brought by Rabbi Chivdain about Donat Dimondra, they brought after, and then come the Gila, if you had 10 men, because of the sacred Adina, Hans. The Gemara has a statement, Sudas Purim Shasob Balayla Lo Yotzri Yedefei Vosrei. The Potent says in Megillah, Lots of some, they may Mishta the Simcha. He's supposed to have Mishta the Simcha, he's supposed to have a Suda. The Gemara says, all the mitzvahs have to be fulfilled by Yom. The mitzvah Shabbat Manas, Makanas of Yernim, Mikra Megillah. That's why it's one of the things that Mikra Megillah Balayla was instituted in Bizman or Amorai. Because all the mitzvahs have to be done by Yom. But most of the many of you assume that Balayla, Leil Purim, the Zom mitzvah of Suuda et al. There's a minority opinion, and the Ritainim, that when the Gemara is Lashon, the Gemara said Lashon, Sudas Purim Tassob Balayla, the Yopsi, they find the Bosai, if a person hasn't suited that night, he's not Yotze, it's not sufficient. Shotbach on Yontel, you have to have one suited by Yom and one suited by Balayla. So on Purim Motz, you have to have one suited by Balayla, one suited by Yom, you need two suited. And the other Vishayim, oh no, there's no need to have suited by Balayla at all. Rav Kirye, people are hungry, usually time is festive, so you're going to be starving, so you're going to want to eat something. But if it's a mitzvah of Suda, then the Suda should be bust to the eye. That says in Shulchan Aruch, that says in Rambam. Suda's Pun is supposed to be bust to the eye in, because the Gemara says the bancha bez and me to show you kapai here. So the Gemara is talking. The bancha bez and me to show you kai men simcha ela bid star shlomen. The way to fulfill simcha triumphant is by eating star shlomen. This man she ain't bez and me to shlomen is not going to be star shlomen anyway. So then the Gemara says, they simcha ala diayin. So, on the Vishnu Bura quotes from Machlokes HaKohanim, what does that mean? Does it mean that since Bizman is that's not the Sar Shlomim, they may well have milchik? And others just have to have yayin? The Basar is irrelevant, but he's saying, no, you have to have Basar, but Bizman Shabbos means the Shaykh Kayim was a fish in the Sar Shlomim. Bizman says, you have to have yayin, you have to have Basar diayin. That's the pashtus. You have to have bosaviyai. Bosaviyai. Vishnu Bhupur thinks that the, me, Bhupur is my, he presented as if Roybach Reinem Asulu at all on a Yerantus. When you learn Yeridea, the first page in Yeridea, wouldn't appear so at all. They assume they talk about a Shoshet who's an Avelbus, Shoshet in the middle of Shiva, and be allowed a shecht for the community. So let's say, they have a shechet who can shecht chickens, but they don't have a shechet who can shecht behemoths for yontifs. And the one, the judge, who knows how to shut famous, he's in the middle of Shiva. So it's not proper to have an ogre in the middle of Shiva. He's not 100% relaxed. And if the judge is not 100% relaxed, he may make nevela. He may not do a good job of shechting. So that's why you try to avoid having a shechet shecht during Shiva. But if you have no choice, you have no choice. So that's a big machlokes. Are you yotzei suras yontif if you have chicken? Maybe you're only yotzei if you have besar behema. So that's the first page in Yerideya. They assume that you certainly have to have pleishik on yontif, not like the Mishnah Brura. Since it's not besar, no karbonis, not going to be besar shlomim anyway, so you don't need the basar at all. All you need is the ayin. That's in the first page of Yerideya, they assume not. So you assume you do have flesh, have to have flesh on Yom Tov, but they argue, can it be chicken? On Shabbos, there's no chiyuv of simcha, it's just the din of kibbutz v'yayinik. The kibbutz v'yayinik is determined subjectively, whatever people enjoy. So people enjoy milchiks better, so it'll be milchiks. In fact, it says in Shulchan Aruch, if there are people who enjoy fasting more so than eating, so they can be yotzei simcha v'yayinik Shabbos by fasting on Shabbos, by not eating, by fasting. There are such people, okay. I don't know too many people like that who enjoy fasting better than eating. So they can be yotzei v'yayinik Shabbos by fasting. But that's the shaila, what about Yom Tov? Yom Tov is a mitzvah of simcha, and maybe simcha is determined objectively. Maybe the halacha says you have to have basar v'yayin, even if you choke on it, even if you don't enjoy, let's say a vegetarian, doesn't enjoy eating flesh. So Korban Pesach, he has no choice. He has to eat Korban Pesach whether he likes it or not. What about, forget about Korban Pesach, what about Simchas Yom Tov? Is it required that he must have basar v'yayin? Or do you say, no, just like Oinig Shabbos is established objectively, whatever you enjoy, then maybe Simchas Yom Tov also established subject, whatever you enjoy. So that's a dilun. It's a dilun in the poskim. So our father says that the Suras Purim should be boss of the yain. It says the Shulchan Aruch like that. One should have boss of the yain. Magar Avram quotes a machlokes achronim. What if a person benches on Purim and he forgot to say be ala nisim? They point out in the Shulchan Aruch, it's not ala nisim, it's be ala nisim, because the Birchus HaMazim is say, no de loho, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this, that, and the other thing. And we thank him also on Yisach Shebuchoy Avman Nifleseh Utevesecha Shemcholei Sebe Vayke Vitzaharayim Vavranit Shemalapurk Malak Vuz Valachuz. We thank him for this as well. So to be Alanitim, it's one long sentence. One long sentence, not a new paragraph. You don't start the paragraph Alanitim. We thank you, Lord Delacho. We thank you for this, that, and the other thing. Valanitim Alapurkan. So the Magen Avraham quotes in Machlokes Achronim, what if a person ate Suras Purim and he forgot to say Baal HaNisim in the benching, does he have to repeat the benching or not? So we have a klal from the Gemara, and Tosis has like this. Tosis is not sure by Shalvashudas, is it necessary to have pots, to have bread? The first Suda Balel Shabbos and the Suda Shabbos in the morning, you have to have pots. You don't have pots, you're not Yotzei. That's the din. Kvod yom and kvod laila means oinig. Oinig yom. Kibud v'oinig. Kibud v'oinig is a postik in Yishai. The karos ha'lush ha'vis oinig. The kadosh ha'shem v'chubad. The Rambam writes, there are four mitzvahs. Shabbos and all four carry over to Yom Tov. Zohar v'shamar and kibud v'oinig. So this is the Gemara has the din of oinig Shabbos is kvod yom and kvod laila. You don't say that it's a din oinig Shabbos at 24 hours of Shabbos. There's a din of oinig yom and a din of oinig laila. So you have to have one meal by laila and one meal in the daytime. So that one meal by laila Friday night and one meal by yom on Friday and Shabbos and Yom Tov, the two basic meals have to have bread. Then on Shabbos there's an added din of shalashudas. The third suit is zechel amon. Zechel amon, you could have, Tosfos has a suggestion, maybe all the three Sudas, Zechel Amon. It says, Echlu Hayom, Geshabbat Hayom, Hashem Hayom, Lostim Tzavuhu Basode. So the Gemara comments in Kol Kisvei, towards the end of Masech Shabbos. Shabbos has 24 Prokim. One of the later Prokim of Masech Shabbos talks about the three Sudas in the Midbar, when the man came down, said that there was a double portion, like a Mishnah, a double portion came down at an Erev Shabbos. They divided into three leels that they had, one on Leil Shabbos and two on Shabbos in the daytime. So we learn out from the Psukim, the word Hayom, and Hayom Lonsim to divided the month. Anyway, it had one meal Leil Shabbos and two meals Shabbos in the daytime. So we want to make a Zecher Lamon, so we have three Sudas on Shabbos, so the Re Balatason says Mesupik, maybe the Zecher Lamon could be that the third Suda doesn't have to add bread. Maybe if you have mini Targima, if you have just a snack, maybe that's also good enough.
Three alterations in the pile of gas. But when a little girl, so she buys it, and what is a blinking, running?
So the Re Balatasis is the Sutuk. Maybe all the three Sutas can be made in Targima. Maybe all three can be made in Targima. Maybe the only reason why you have to wash for the first two is because of Einigam and Einiglaila. But then one Suda Balayla, one Suda Bayom would be good enough. The third Suda could be good enough, Mini Targima. So if Mini Targima would be good enough just to have a piece of herring or a piece of gefilte fish or an apple or pear or something, a snack, then you wouldn't have said Vitei, you would have just said Bar Nefashos. So even if you did wash the Kaldushudas and you forgot to say Vitei, if you didn't have to wash and you would have said Bar Nefashos, it would have been good enough. Even if you did wash and you forget to say Vitei, you wouldn't tell them to ask to bench over again. The whole idea of benching over is because they're benching your yotze, even if you leave out Yalav Yavoi. Even if you leave out Ritzah, you're Yotze the benching. You're not Yotze the Suda Shabbos. You have to nikaber the Suda Shabbos by saying Kiddush in the beginning, by the saying Ritzah or Yalav Yavoi in the end, if it's Shabbos or Yom Tov. So the Suda Shabbos and Yom Tov has to contain bread, then we say the only way you Yotze the Suda Shabbos is if you say Ritzah in the benching. And if you said the benching without Ritzah, you're Yotze the benching, but you're not Yotze for this Suda with the benching instead of Thalim, and it's to either all let him say over the benching and make sure that he says Ritzah, hey, this second time. So that's the Magen Avraham quotes the Machlokes Achrayim. He had a Suda on Purim, and the person forgot to say V'yala Nisim. So it's a machlekes achrayim, but he has to bench over again. It was by state the machlekes, so the Magen Avraham said, this is the machlekes. In order to be yotze, beinishte v'simcha, in order to be yotze, the chiyuv sudan purim, is it absolutely necessary to have pas, to have bread? And then if you don't say al anisim, then you won't kaver the suda, the shem sudas purim. Then you would be yotze the benching, but you wouldn't be yotze the suda. If you have to repeat the Bechav HaMazon again a second time. That's what the Magen Avraham learned. That's the Machlokes Achrayim, whether you have to repeat the benching if you forgot the Al HaNisim. The Aruch HaShulchan doesn't agree with the Magen Avraham. The Aruch HaShulchan thinks everybody agrees that you never yotze Sudas Mitzvah unless you have bread. He thinks when you go to a wedding, it's a Sudas Mitzvah. A lot of people tend to leave early. They're not going to wait till the bench of Mizumin at the end. And if you're Shlosha Shachla Kachas Chayav Mizamin, and by wedding you have more than Shlosha, you have 10 people. So you're not allowed to leave unless you bench Mizumin Basara. So a lot of people go to wedding, they don't wash because they don't plan to stay to the end. So the Aruch HaShulchan thinks if you don't wash, you're not Yotze the Sudas Mitzvah. You have a dinner. You had a delicious dinner, but you're not Yotze the Sudas Mitzvah. He thinks you never yotze any Sudas Mitzvah unless you wash and you have pas. So he thinks that on Purim for sure you have to have pas. And Machlokes whether Avraham HaNisim is me'akir or not in the Suda. But he thinks that if you don't wash, he thinks that you're not yotze the Sudas Purim. In Shulchan Aruch there is a Machlokes. It's a common practice. People eat the Sudas Purim late in the afternoon. And then they bench Amatzoi Purim, it's already Shushan Purim. So that's really a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, even a machlokes on Shabbos. Let's say you have Shalva Shudas on Shabbos, then you bench on Mitzvah Shabbos. It's already after the Shkia, it's already after Tzeisah Kachavim, and you're benching. So do you say, do you still say Mitzvah? Because yeah, this, the, so we paskin that Yibon writes there's more svara to say Mitzvah in Yalav Yaba from Shabbos and Yonta because Lasif and Mechol HaKadosh. There's a concept of Tosefa Shabbos. So you're extending Shabbos into the night. So that's why you can still say Mitzvah. Well, Yama Shabbos Hazet. It's still Shabbos. But we paskin that even on Purim, where there's no Mosif and Mechol HaKadosh, there's no Kedusha Sayyim to Purim. So it can't be Masif and Mechol HaKadosh. Still, if you ate the meal on the 8th, the main part of the meal was eaten on Purim, we paskin that you say Alanisim, even though you're not getting to bench till Matzoi Purim. But more correct is that you should bench before the Shkia. Why should you get involved in a Machlokes Achronim? More correct is to avoid the Machlokes. Same thing on Shabbos. More correct is to bench on Shabbos before the Shkia. Why should you eat Shavuot so late? And then you're going to have a machlekes, whether you say b'tshei, and the benching after Shabbos Shudas, it's already after Shabbos is over, bench before the Shkia. So you won't have a machlekes. The Chachamim made the takana of observing a Purim, the two different days. If you live on, so you do all the mitzvahs, sayyam, and you dalit. And you have the mukam chamos and shur ben nun, so you do all the mitzvahs on Tezvav. The din of mukam shur ben nun is a din of ayaris and bekapis kolna, but the orichayma cities that mukam chamos and shur ben nun have a higher level of kedusha. They have special dinim. A mitzvah is not allowed to enter Yerushalayim, not allowed to enter any ayaris and bekapis kolna, and shur ben nun. That's a din there I said. And there are other dinim for Yoris Amakofas Chaimer. Yeah, so that's the higher level of Kedusha, that's only in Eretz Yisrael. But Mukofas Chaimer is for sure Ben Nun, is Beferish and Nigmar, even if it's a city in Babel, even if the city is somewhere in Kutzlaritz, and there's no Kedusha Saritz at all, still that's Halacha. Yoris Amakofas Chaimer is for sure Ben Nun, read the Megillah on Tezlov. So the Gemara says in the very beginning of the Gila, it's only if it's hukah for the Besayf Yoshavs, only if the city had a wall first, and then the people moved in. So the Ra, on the Riz, on the first page of the Gila, he raised that question, when Yeshua ben Nun conquered Eretz Yisrael, when they crossed over the Yarden, the Moshe Rabbeinu passed away Zion Order, and then a few weeks later, when Esau crossed over the yard, then he went into Eretz and they conquered the land. So, how did they know what the history of every city was? Whether the city was Hukav Chaimah first, or was inhabited first? But they relied on the history books that the cities had. Who says that they're reliable? So the Ran has an interesting comment. He uses a lotion, Diras Akun Kediras Behema. The din that Ayaris HaMakafas Chomers Yeshua Ben Nun, as far as Kedusha Sa'aretz, have a higher level of Kedusha, that's only if the Jews moved in. So he says, by definition, every city that was Mukav Chaimah when Yeshua Ben Nun came, he didn't have to investigate whether the Goyim moved in before they put the wall around or after. Normal is that people form a community. After they form a community, then they put a wall around it. They don't put a wall first and then they move in. So normally it was Yoshav of the Sofukav. But he says, Diras Akam is Kediras Behema. The fact that the Goyim moved in there centuries before Yeshua Ben Nun came over, crossed over the Arden and conquered Eretz Yisrael, that doesn't count. The Jewish people moved in. So Jewish people moved in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, there was a Mukav Chaimah. So every single city that was Mukav Chaimah was, by definition, it was Hukav for the Besav Yoshav. First, there was a wall around it, and then the Jewish people moved in. The fact that the Goyim moved in before they made the wall, that's Diras Akam Kediras Behema. That expression, that's an awkward expression, Diras Akam Kediras Behema. That's the Gemara in Harrison. And they get to Shlomo HaMelech made a takana that if you have, let's say, an apartment building, and the apartments, this apartment, one family lives, a different family lives in, you have 100 apartments, 100 different families live in 100 different apartments, but the hallways are used, the shutzfas, by all the people on the floor. So, min haTorah, all the apartment buildings are one big reshus hayochid. It doesn't make the difference who owns the building, who lives in the building. Is a makam mukav mechitza. There are mechitzas around it. But with the rabbanon, shlama, from one apartment to the other, so you need a mubi chateris. So the Gemara says there in Perakador, diras akum kediras beima. Strictly speaking, if the lochan live there, that doesn't count. Only the Jews live there. So the Ran uses that lotion on the first daf of Megillah to explain why all of the Ayoris on the Kofos Koimam in Rosh Hashanah Benun, they were all by definition, they were Uka for the Besof Yoshav. In Yeshua Benun came, there were walls around it. So even though first the community developed, first the people moved in there, and then they saw there's so many people, they need protection, so they built walls around it. So it was Yoshev with the Saluka, but the Yoshev didn't count, because the Diras Takum doesn't count. It's only Diras Yisrael counts. So that was, I found that very interesting. Everyone, he said, that din, Diras Takum, Kediras Be'ema, is based on a din deraisin. That's only a din derabbanan by Erevin, but it's based on a din deraisin by Yoris on the Kofos Chaim. There is a lechilta on the pasuk at the end of Parshas Vishalach, Ki Yor al Keisko, Vuchom al Hashem Bamolek. So there are three different Tanoim. The first two Tanoim understand Ki Yor al Keis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore by his throne. Ki Yor HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted his hand, and he swore by his throne, Ki Yor al Keisko, Vuchom al Hashem Bamolek. What did he swear by his throne? So the first two Tanoim in the lechilta, and that pasuk, the end of Bishalach, one Tana says he swore on his throne that they mekablim gerim me'amolek. If a Nokri wants to convert to many nationality, we can accept them, except from Amolek. He can't accept gerim from Amolek. The next Tana says, no, that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore. He swore he doesn't want to have a zecher Amolek. Mocha en says zecher Amolek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, we should also wipe out Timcha Zech Amalek, but he says, Mocha Amcha, he will wipe out Amalek, and he swore he doesn't want Be'emel Shor Vaseh. When Shmuel HaNovi told Shaul HaMelech he should go wage war against Amalek, he said, you should wipe out Vacharamta, Mishor, Adchamor, Adseh, shouldn't leave any Be'emelis at all. So they ask on the Rambam, the Chidah. Chidah lived in the 1700s. The Chidah has many different swarm. So one of the Svarim, he asked the Rambam, Afkan the Rambam doesn't quote either of these opinions from the Mechilta. Rambam doesn't quote that Emet Kablan Gerim Me'amolek. Rambam says, a non-Jew can convert from any nationality. We accept him. If he's Amani Me'ovi, so, Le'ov Amani B'kal Hashem, he has to marry a Geirus. He can't marry a Jewish girl and so on. But he said, you accept Gerim from any nation. He doesn't write. Amolek is different. And he never writes the din of Ishur Hamar Adseh. It just says you have to wipe out all the people from Amalek. He doesn't talk about the Danish, the possessions of Amalek. And the Rambam is mashmet the two din that the Chidor raises that issue. So some point out that the Bavli seems to pass from like the third opinion, that the Tiris Daminis Ki Yod Al Keis Ko doesn't mean at all that Hashem swore by his throne. The third Tanur Mechilta says doesn't mean that. Yod al Keis Ko means when king will be ruling over Eretz Yisrael. Yad HaMelech, the Jewish king, will be sitting on the throne of Malchus of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Gimel, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Afkokan Adai said, Gimel mitzvahs, it's Tavi Yisrael b'chnisosim la'aret. When the Jewish people entered into Eretz Yisrael, they became obligated to fulfill three mitzvahs in a specific order. The Rambam quotes this, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, and Hilchos Melachim, the very beginning. He quotes that Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chof and Beis. Gimel mitzvahs and stava yisol b'chnisos mal ha'aretz, and it has to be in this particular order. First is la'amid la'amelech, when we appoint a Jewish king sitting on the throne, ki yod al keshko, not Hashem swore by his throne that he's going to wipe out Amalek. No, when a Jewish king will be sitting on the throne of Malchus, of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, then there's a mitzvah. Then and only then is there a mitzvah to wipe out Amalek. You have to have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. And only after you wipe out Amalek, then there are mitzvah to build a Beis HaBchira. Because Amalek is the enemy of the Jewish people. Calls mommy Avtsoris from the enemy. There's no mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash. You only have a mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash, which is absolutely peaceful in Eretz Yisrael. And when you build a Beis HaMikdash, it's called Anasati Shalom Ba'Mokam HaZeh. When you have a Beis HaMikdash, that's called Shalom. So that's what some of the Sforim write. The Rambam didn't quote the first two Tanoim because the Babli seems to pass like the third Tana, that the Pirush HaMilut of Kiyor al Keisko doesn't mean at all that Hashem swore by his throne that he will wipe out Amalek. It means when a Jewish king will be sitting on the throne of Malchus and Eretz Yisrael, so then we will have the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, and if there will be Moshe Amalek, then we will have the mitzvah to build the Beis HaBchira. There is an interesting Gemara in Megillah at the end of the first parak. Gemara has quite about 10 blots of Agadita commenting posik by posik on the Megillah says to all the psukim. So there's a posik when Haman got the Ahasuerus to sign an edict that he has the right to kill all the Jews. So Mordechai was petrified. So it says Vayavar. So Esther requested that Knossos call Yehudim and they should fast Shloshi Yomim Laila Bayom. They fast 3 days by Laila Bayom. Wow, that was quite difficult. That she's going to go into the king without permission. They shouldn't kill her and so on. So the pasuk says Vayavar Mordechai. Mordechai violated. He's Vayavar. What did he Vayavar? So it's Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara has a Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. So one pshat is Vayavar Mordechai. The 3 days that they fasted were Erev Pesach, the first day Pesach, and the first day Chalamai Pesach. Yudalit Tezvav Nissen and Tezayin Nissen. The 3 days, Laila Vayom, were Yudalit Tezvav and Tezayin. So Vayavar Mordechai. Mordechai violated the din. Is the din you're not allowed to fast on Yom Tov, Simchas Yom Tov. So he violated the din. That's the first shot. Then the next Amora, I forgot, one is Rav, one is Shmuel. Next Amora says, no, he crossed over the river to get to the other side of the city. What is that he crossed over the river? What river? When river? So Rav Reuven Margolius points out that the Jews lived in Persia for many years. And they had a tradition, which city is Shushan? And Shushan is divided into two parts. Half of it is called Shushan Abira, and half of it is called Shushan. So Shushan Abira, that's where the government offices are. And Shushan is where the Jews live, the other section of the city. And there's a river separating between the two. That's the fact, there was a river. So that's what the second Amora says in the Gemara. Vayavar Mordechai doesn't mean that he violated an Iser by fasting on Pesach and by Chalamoid Pesach. The other Matron is he crossed over the river to speak to the Jews who lived in Shushan, which is not Shushan Abira. Shushan Abira is half of the city. That's where the government offices were. Shushan is the other half of the city. I thought that was very interesting. That I remember seeing many years ago the Netziv in one of the Sfarin. I tried to find it today. I couldn't find it, but I remember that it said one is from comments when Rivka Yitzchak Avinu couldn't see, so he requested of Esav, he had twin children, Yaakov and Esav, requested of Esav, he should go hunting, should prepare a delicious meal for him, and he's going to give him the brachas. And then Rivka heard that Yitzchak was going to give the brachas to Esav, so she told Yaakov he should go quickly, prepare a fleshy meal the way the father will enjoy it, he should give it to the father, and he should get the brachas from the father.
Should I?
So the pasuk says in Chumash, when Esav heard that his brother had beat him to it, that by mistake Yitzchak gave the brachas to Yaakov instead of giving it to him, to Esav, that says in the pasuk, Esav felt gedol l'mora ad miyod. He screamed out. He was very aggravated. He wanted the brachas from the father. It meant so much to him. So there's a Medrash Rabba on that pasuk that says that because Esav was so hurt and he was screaming that Yaakov had fooled him, Yaakov got the brachas from the father. He wanted the brachas. So that's why generations later, it says in the Megillah that when Mordechai heard that Haman got Ahasuerus to sign an edict to wipe out all the Jewish people, so it says that Mordechai screamed up, Yitzchak tzal gedol olmora. The exact same lashon that it says by Esav, that he was aggravated that Yaakov beat him to it and he got the brachas, that says such a lashon by Mordechai later. What is the connection? What is the connection? So then it explains that there is a concept in the Gemara of Gdola Avera Lishma. Sometimes, there's a din of Eser Dechalei Sesei, but it's very restricted. It doesn't apply in every case. Even in cases where you don't apply Eser Dechalei Sesei, sometimes you're allowed to do an Avera Lishma. But the Avera Lishma has to be Lishma. If you have personal negiyas, you have personal pleasure from doing the avera, then it's not lishma. So that's what the Netziv explained in this medrash, that Yaakov Avinu was a little too happy over the fact that Esav was hurt. When Esav found out that Yaakov beat him to it, and he got the brachas from the father, so Yaakov had pleasure from that, so that takes away from the Avera Lishma. He did an Avera to fool the father and to get to take the brachas from Esau. So there has to be an Avera Lishma. Not all of what he did was really Lishma, because he had a little bit too much pleasure with the fact that Esau was aggravated. So that's why the Jewish people needed a kapora later. So that's why Mordechai was screaming by Yitzchak tzal gedol olmora, the exact same lashon. He needed a kapara for the fact that the aver wasn't 100% an aver lishma.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.